Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good.
Da-dun, da-da-da-da-da. Da-da. Good morning. It's 7:04 a.m. You're listening to non-commercial, listener-funded, community-controlled WBAI New York at 99.5 FM on the dial. Streaming globally at WBAI.org, I'm Johanna Fernandez, your host of It's a Good Day from 7 to 8 a.m. Stay tuned for what will be an important, phenomenal show.
And fly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Good morning, New York. It's 7:06. Grab your coffee. We are about to have a very important conversation, a local New York story about one of the unsung and imprisoned heroes of our city. But before we do that, know that it is not that cold outside. It's a little gloomy, it seems. And it's, again, 7:06. Get ready for the day. Get ready for a wonderful show. First, at the top of the news, is that Chuck Africa has been released from prison. After serving nearly 42 years in prison, Charles Sims Africa was finally released from Pennsylvania's Fayette State Correctional Institution. Now 59 and recovering from cancer, Chuck Africa is the youngest and the last of the Move 9 members to be set free. And I think we have to say that it was a long-standing international movement, a people's movement, that is responsible for freeing the Move 9 political prisoners who were targeted, demonized by the police and by the entire state apparatus of Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. And I just want to shout out folks like Mike Africa Jr., who was born in prison to one of the Move members, Pam Africa, Ramona Africa, and all of the incredible people of Philadelphia who kept the names and the lives and the humanity of these revolutionaries alive. And of course, long live John Africa. Since December 2020, 16 prisoners have died in the Mississippi State prison system. Prisoner advocates consider the living conditions in these prisons inhumane. These conditions include cell block murders, riots, suicides, and escapes. The Department of Justice announced that its Civil Rights Division's Special Litigation Section is launching an investigation into conditions at four Mississippi prisons, including Parchman. The investigation will focus on whether the Mississippi Department of Corrections adequately protects prisoners from physical harm by other prisoners, as well as whether there is adequate suicide prevention, including adequate mental health care and appropriate use of solitary confinement at Parchman. Unclear whether the use of solitary confinement is ever appropriate. Solitary confinement is an inhumane condition of suppression. And the majority of people who are in solitary confinement, as we know, are there because they are prisoners defending prisoners and standing up for their rights as human beings. We're going to go to music now before we get into this important show. We've got a little village here in studio at WBAI. These are folks who are defending one of our own, a New Yorker who's an unsung hero, someone whose name everyone in this town must know, and the name of that person is Ramsey Orta. The Black Lives Matter movement would not be what it is had a young man, age 22, not filmed the police when his friend was being strangled by the NYPD and ultimately killed. Ramsey Orta is now imprisoned. He's been targeted and persecuted to no end. And we have in studio the small village of people who are his defense committee, who are standing up for justice and in defense of one of our own, one of the heroes of New York City. Let's hear it.
We'll be right back.
It's been nearly 6 years since Eric Garner was killed by police in Staten Island. He was approached on suspicion of selling single cigarettes from packs of cigarettes without tax stamps. Officer Daniel Pantaleo placed Eric Garner in an illegal chokehold and wrestled him to the ground. With multiple officers restraining Garner, he repeated the words, "I can't breathe," 11 times. He was pronounced dead at a local hospital about 1 hour later. Officer Pantaleo was placed on desk duty following Garner's murder. And as a result of national and international protests against police brutality, Pantaleo was finally fired this past summer. We know about the circumstances that led to Eric Garner's murder by police because it was captured on camera. Shortly after the incident took place, video footage of Garner's strangulation went viral with the hashtag, "I can't breathe." Many know this story, and thousands of New Yorkers took to the streets under the banner Black Lives Matter when the grand jury decided not to indict Officer Pantaleo the first time around. However, the story of who captured the video and what happened to that person remains largely unknown. The man who captured that video is Ramsey Huerta, Eric Garner's friend. This bears repeating. The man who captured the video of Eric Garner's murder by police was Ramsey Huerta, Eric Garner's friend. Ramsey Huerta was 22 years old when this happened. That day, he and Eric Garner were just trying to decide where to eat lunch on Bay Street. Following the release of his video, of Orta's video, of the strangulation of his friend by police, Huerta reported being harassed by the NYPD. In a two-year span, Ramsey Huerta was arrested 8 times. Of those present on Bay Street during Eric Garner's murder, Ramsey Huerta is the only person who's been jailed. He is currently being held in solitary confinement at the Mohawk Correctional Facility in Rome, New York. And we have the pleasure and honor of having very important guests with us here in studio and also on the phone. Deja Richardson first met Ramsey Huerta in 2014, in the months after his video made international headlines. They fell in love and are engaged to be married after Orta's release from prison. Jacob Crawford began filming the police in the birthplace of the Black Panther Party, the birth city of the Black Panther Party, Oakland, California, in early 2000s. Later, he co-founded the organization We Cop Watch, which has filmed the police in Oakland, Ferguson, Baltimore, Standing Rock, and New York. Joshua Lopez is also here with us. He became politicized after his uncle, John Collado, was shot and killed by an undercover NYPD officer. He met Huerta through their shared activism against police terror in New York City, where they became friends. He has visited Huerta in prison a number of times. We are also joined here in studio by Sister Shirley, who's a longtime racial justice activist on Staten Island. She has known Huerta for several years and has been very outspoken about the long history of police brutality on Staten Island. And we gave props to Sister Shirley a number of months ago because it was Sister Shirley who suggested to me at a meeting of the campaign to bring Mumia home that perhaps we should use Nina Simone's song as our theme song when I was trying to figure out how are we going to open up this song. And the the significance of this Nina Simone song, which we bring to you every morning, is that Nina Simone says that this is a good moment. This is a good moment. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. And this is a good day. This is a good day for freedom. And this is a good day to fight. Finally, we're also joined by Peter Elescu, Peter Elescu, who's a New York-based activist who has fought in support of political prisoners and against police terror. He has been to visit Orta in prison recently, including earlier this month. So, Village, New Yorkers, friendly visitors to New York, welcome to WBAI and welcome to It's a Good Day.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome, Deja. And Deja is with us on the phone. So it's been 2 weeks since the protests widely known as FTP3 happened here in New York, at which demonstrators gathered at Grand Central Terminal to peacefully protest the over-policing in the MTA. Protesters used signs, banners, and wrote messages on the wall. One of them read, "Ramsey Orta, People's Hero." I want to start with you, Deja, and with you, Sister Shirley, and others who might want to speak to this. Can you give us a sense of who is Ramsey Orta? Can you paint a picture of who he is as a human being? Deja.
Well, Ramsey is, your typical person for the most part. His early years in life have not been the best of the best. He's risen between, family poverty, family issues. His past hasn't been as a child should have been raised. So his life has had a lot of ups and downs. And who he is today is a bold person who did what was right and now is being the only person held accountable for it. Ramsey will tell you he's not perfect, far from perfect, but today, he's a changed person for what he's been through, what he's going through, and where he wants to be in life. And that's pretty much what I can really say. Ramsey's very loving, caring, honorable. He tries his best to play the hand he was dealt, And that's what I can say. Shirley, I don't know if you want to elaborate on that.
Yes, Ramsey is my black Latino son from another mother, okay? He is our true people's hero. He is not only the hero of New York, but he is the hero of the United States. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't know anything at all, because Eric was not the first person we called modern day lynched on Staten Island. He was the third that we know of. And we don't know about the first two, not even people who live on Staten Island, still to this day, don't know about the other two. And even with Eric, the only reason we know about Eric is because of Ramsey.
Thank you, Sister Shirley. So let's get into the story. Can you talk to us about the targeting that Ramsey faced from the NYPD immediately after the killing of Ramsey Orta? Josh, might you speak to that?
Yeah, I personally experienced it a couple of times. Like like going to court when he had court dates. I seen undercover cops following him around. I seen them with binoculars looking from a distance at him, like keeping a close eye on Ramsey. And also in 2016, I was in Brooklyn at a rally for Sandra Bland. And there was this police officer, in back of his jacket, it read legal, NYPD legal. And, he just came up to me, the cop, and he told me, I can't wait to testify against you in court. So I was like confused. I was like, what did I do? What are you going to testify against me in court? So the officer responded by, I know who you are, Ramsey. He was confusing me for Ramsey Order. So, me experiencing these things, I already knew firsthand that Ramsey was a target of the NYPD. I seen it firsthand.
Thank you, Joshua. Jacob Crawford, we just heard from Joshua Lopez.
Yeah, as far as the surveillance of Ramsey, I've been doing a lot of work around police for many years, and I was pretty astounded when I met Ramsey to see what a large security apparatus was being used for one person. And, you know, it was court dates. It was in his neighborhood. And, you know, honestly, the young man seemed really trapped. When I met him, you know, this was a year after Eric Garner had been killed, and he was really isolated. So,
Deja, would you like to share with us perhaps some of the stories that you've heard firsthand from your partner?
Soon after the video became basically shown to the world, Ramsey told me, because I wasn't with him at the time I met him, a few months after, when I met him, he explained to me who he was and, you know, what he had done and challenges he faced. And I've gotten the story from him that shortly after he was, you know, shown to the world that, you know, he filmed this video, that they were circling around his neighborhood. They were watching him. They were shining flashlights into his home. They were following his mom. They saw what she was doing, what he was doing. They basically just, in any way possible, they let him know, like, listen, you know, we know what you did. We know who you are, and we're going to make you pay for it as much as we can. And that's basically just what happened and just how it went, you know. So he faced so many different issues after this video that it's just, it was ridiculous. So those are the few stories that I do know, and those are the few couple of things that I do know that he endured shortly right after the video while still living in Staten Island.
You've listened to the voice of Deja Richardson, who is joining us via phone alongside of others, Sister Shirley, Joshua Lopez, Jacob Crawford, and Peter Eliscu, who are here in studio. It's 7:27. You're tuned into listener sponsored, locally controlled, non-corporate, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM on the dial. I'm Johanna Fernandez, your host of It's a Good Day, and we're having a critical, urgent conversation about one of the courageous members of our community here in New York and Staten Island, Ramsey Orta, who's currently imprisoned in solitary confinement. He has been targeted by the police for having recorded the strangulation by police of his friend, Eric Garner, the man who is known around the world for having essentially prayed for his life at the end of his life by yelling out 11 times to the cops, I can't breathe. And we're asking our guests, who are also the defense team and the small village of people who are defending Orta, telling his story and protecting him from the vindictiveness of the NYPD, to tell us about the kind of targeting he experienced. Peter Alescu, can you share your story with us?
Yes, well, I think it's important to remember that Ramsey, as you said, was the only one who was put behind bars out of the murder of Eric Garner, and that he was, not only was he targeted, but his family was targeted, his mother and his family, that the police department had developed this pattern of harassment, which has been described here. And Ramsey agreed to a plea deal in order to prevent his mother from being prosecuted. He agreed to a plea deal of 4 years, and that's how he ended up in jail. And in terms of protecting him, we are frustrated at not being able to protect him. We don't have the means to... what we really need to do is to get Ramsey some legal help. It's been long in coming, and we really need people in the community to contact us and help us find legal representation for Ramsey. Thank you.
Can you tell us what it was that the police told Ramsey pretty early on when they were on his track, when they were targeting him?
You filmed Eric Garner, we're going to film you. Sorry, you filmed Eric Garner, we're going to film you. And that was in the context of them jumping out of a car with their cameras out to arrest Ramsey on an alleged gun charge. And I think it's really important when we're talking about this targeting that the first hit was this gun charge, where they jumped out on him, the gun was on another person, but he got the charge. That's intentional. When he went back home to the Lower East Side with his family and they set up an operation that looked much like a RICO one, that was intentional and it was political. And so, you know, the targeting has been by NYPD, but I also want to say this is bigger than NYPD, because when I met Ramsey, I got him out of here to get away from the NYPD, and we brought him to Baltimore, to Ferguson, to Oakland, St. Louis, to places where people could say thank you. And while we got a lot of that, we also got a lot of surveillance. And we actually had people approach Ramsey, understanding his vulnerability, and try to entrap him on multiple felonies. So we had these weird things coming that had to be, they had to be, you know, in coordination with a greater law enforcement agency.
So can you tell us the relationship between the experience of someone like Kevin Moore in Baltimore, who recorded the killing pretty much of Freddie Gray? What's the relationship between what happened to Kevin Moore in Baltimore and the experience of Ramsey Orta?
I think with Ramsey, people came too late. And people, I think, originally...
Can you tell us first the story of Kevin Moore for those who may not know about the story?
Absolutely. You know, so in 2015, Kevin Moore, who was a resident of Western Baltimore, woke up to the sounds of screams, and he ran outside to find his friend being physically abused by the police. He, like Ramsey Orta, instinctively knew what to do, pulled out his camera, and watched the police trying to advocate for his friend. Unfortunately, his friend died a week later, setting off unrest that lasted a while. And he was actually targeted. But the thing was is that when the police started coming after Kevin, we were able to find him. We got him cameras and we got him legal support. And so when they arrested Kevin alongside another cop watcher, we were able to get him out immediately. Charges dropped and it made international news within hours.
Now, this reminds me of the story of Faden Santana in South Carolina. Not sure if our listening audience remembers, but Faden Santana is a Dominican immigrant, I believe, who recorded what happened to Walter Scott. Remember Walter Scott, mm-hmm. who was chased by the cops and then was shot dead, and the cops, I think, implanted evidence. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I see that Josh Lopez is shaking his head. Can you tell us about that story?
Yeah, I remember the story reading on national news on a national level. That was it was, I believe, a traffic stop on Walter Scott, where the police officer with the recording of Santana, Mr. Santana, you could see the police officer aim his weapon at Walter Scott while he's running away, and shoots him multiple times. And while he's down on the ground, the police officer is planting a taser near his body.
And so what was it that happened to Faden Santana, the man who recorded what happened to Walter Scott? Can anyone share that story with us?
Well, I don't know the exact story, but I know that he faced a lot of threats. But I also want to say one thing that Faden did do was he didn't release the video immediately, and that's why we've got a cop in prison right now. And so for people that if you document something that you think is police abuse, a police killing, don't just put it online. You got to get legal support. You got to wait for them to concoct their stories, and then your video will contradict it.
Thank you. It's 7:34. You're listening to non-corporate listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM on the dial. I'm Johanna Fernandez, your host of It's a Good Day. And this morning, we are bringing to you a very important story, a story and a name that few people in the city know. It is the story of Ramsey Orta, the man and friend of Eric Garner, the man who video recorded the strangulation of Eric Garner. Back in 2014, and Ramsey Orta has been the target of persecution, punishment, solitary confinement, and imprisonment on the part of the establishment of the city and the police. And we're here to raise his name and tell his story. It's 7:35. Grab your coffee. Take a moment to listen to the story and spread the word. We've been told that Ramsey Orta has been isolated. We're here with Deja Richardson, his partner. We're here with Jacob Crawford, who is the co-founder of the organization We Cop Watch. We're here with Joshua Lopez, who became politicized after his uncle, John Collado, was shot and killed by the undercover NYPD officers. And we're here with Sister Shirley, who's a longtime racial justice activist, and also Peter Elescu, who's a longtime activist based here in New York and who's visited Orta. And I'm Johanna Fernandez, your host of It's a Good Day. I want to get to the story that we don't know about, which is the story of your uncle, Josh. Can you tell us the story briefly?
Yes. Thank you, Johanna. Yes, my uncle John Collado, he was a 43-year-old grandfather who happened to go to the store to buy some ingredients for some lasagna that he was cooking for his wife and children and his kid. And as he's going to the store, he heard somebody screaming for help. A woman approaches him and tells him two men are fighting to go help. My uncle approaches and tries to separate the two men from fighting, which one of them he recognized as his neighbor and a friend from the neighborhood, and the other person he didn't recognize, who was an undercover police officer, and his name was James Connolly. As my uncle tried to separate both of them from fighting, the police officer just shot and killed my uncle. And we learned from the media 4 years later that this police officer had used deadly force prior to that.
And so what's happening with this case?
Well, my uncle's wife, she took the case to a civil trial to find out, like, get to the truth, what really happened to her husband, my uncle. So evidence surfaced in the civil trial, and the cop was found liable for my uncle's death in a civil trial. And new evidence has surfaced there that the cop had lied about what had happened in the incident. The cop said that my uncle was choking him, and a video surfaced, and it showed that my uncle did not choke him. Medical evidence showed the cop was lying. And now we're currently working with the CCRB, trying to bring department charges on the officer.
Thank you, Josh, for that story. And we see this in case after case after case in New York City and around the country, that the cops lie, they cheat, and it's the actions and the courage of ordinary people and their determination to stand up however they can by videotaping what happened that has allowed the country to finally engage in a conversation about police violence and police brutality and its disproportionate impact on black and brown people in the country. It's 7:39 and we're at It's a Good Day. And here we're committed to giving the marginalized voices of society a platform. Here we want to hear and we're bringing you the stories of police violence, the stories about what's going on and what's happening to our environment. And today we're hearing from the supporters of Ramsey Orta, whose story has been completely silenced and overlooked by the mainstream media. Who else is bringing you the story? I was told by the person who helped produce the show, one of our producers, Jürgen Ostensen, that New York has not really done, the New York City media has not really done a story on Ramsey Orta, an in-depth story. We are bringing you the story here at It's a Good Day, and we're asking you to please consider contributing to WBAI or becoming a buddy of It's a Good Day, so that we can continue to ensure that these voices have a space in the public square and can be heard. And for that reason, we're asking you again to join us, join the station, support community-controlled radio, and pledge by calling 516-620-3602. If you think this story is important and these voices are important, please pledge, become a buddy with $5, $7, $1, $2 monthly at 516-620-3602. Please make sure to say that you want to become a buddy of It's a Good Day. And please go online to give the number 2WBAI.org. Give the number 2WBAI.org. Once again, 516-620-3602. If you think Ramsey Orta's story is important and that Ramsey, and if you're angry that Ramsey Orta's story and his name, are not known in New York City and around the world because of a media blackout on this story, please support WBAI. Please support the show. It's a Good Day. Call us at 516-620-3602 for a pledge or give the number 2WBAI.org. So I want to get us to another story. I want to get to the bottom of a story before we open it up for callers. You've referenced previously that like 98% of people arrested for felonies and people who are convicted, Orta inevitably accepted a plea deal. Can you tell us the circumstances surrounding the plea deal involving Ramsey's mom? He took a plea deal because his mom was being targeted, and he essentially was given the carrot. You either accept this deal or your mother is going to be in trouble. Can you tell us the specifics, what exactly happened? Because part of what we're trying to do is educate New York City. This is a small teach-in about things you should know about the Ramsey Orta case and why he's innocent. Sister Shirley?
Well, the cops were targeting his whole family, okay? And they raided his house. They arrested his mother and his brother. That's not the first time that they've been bothering him. They've been going after him for many, many months. And in order for them to leave his mother alone, he came up with the idea of taking a plea, they didn't offer it to him. He said, this is how I'm going to do it. Hmm. And he said, I will take a plea if you leave my mother alone and not put her in prison. Because they didn't have enough on him to make it go forward. They followed him wherever he went. When he was supposed to be protected. He was supposed to be protected by Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton said he was going to protect the whole family, Eric Gardner's family, and Ramsey. And he just dropped him. And he just threw them to the cops. Period. So he had to be protected. Even when he went off the island, he was followed. When I would visit him, I would tell him, just stay in the house. Don't walk me to the train. Stay where you are. Always be with somebody. But regardless, they would always follow him. And so he did this.
And any other comments on this?
Well, there's one thing I'd like to...
Can we hear from Deja, perhaps?
Okay, go ahead.
Deja,
yes.
You want to add to the story?
Basically, everything Aunt Shirley said is exactly how it went. They let Ramsey know that if, you know, well, as Aunt Shirley said, you know, he made the deal clear. But, yeah, those were the repercussions that they would leave his mom alone because she was facing jail time. And Ramsey did not want to happen because Ramsey has a younger brother, you know, that's still little and everything. And he just didn't want that to happen to his mother in general. But, you know, he did it off the grounds mainly of his little brother and where he would have been if his mom got arrested as well and had to do time as well. So, that's pretty much, yeah.
Thank you. Those who know the story of Mumia Abu-Jamal, a political prisoner who was in prison in 1981, accused of killing a white police officer in Philadelphia, innocent, former Black Panther. The stories are so similar. They target your family. They visit upon your brothers and cousins. And they put you in a state of siege. And the person behind bars essentially says, deal with me. Leave my family alone. They have nothing to do with this. Now, we have callers, and we're inviting folks to call in. It's 7:46. You're listening to WBAI. It's a good day. I'm Johanna Fernandez. This is 99.5 FM on the dial, streaming globally at WBAI.org. And we're having a conversation with a village of people who've descended on WBAI this morning to defend Ramsey Horta, the man who videotaped the strangulation of Eric Gardner, who is now in solitary confinement behind prison bars, the target of police punishment, vindictiveness, harassment. The police told Ramsey, you videotaped us, and now we're videotaping you. I want to ask you a little later on, why is he in solitary confinement? What explains this? How do you explain it? He's been in solitary confinement now 7 times, but let's go to our callers. And callers, you can call 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Caller, you're on the line, 99.5 FM on the dial, your name and where you're calling from.
Hi there. Thank you for taking the call. Elle from Long Island. And Shirley, I thank you so very much for your input there, giving us promise of Al Sharpton. My question is this. Number one, when Al Sharpton promised to protect Ramsey Ortiz, he has a lawyer team. What was his means of protection?
Thank you, Al. Thank you, Al. We have quite a number of calls. Al, we have quite a number of calls. Thank you so very much, Sister Shirley.
Well, if it wasn't for Ramsey, Sharpton wouldn't have been interested at all because the second The second person who was modern day lynched on Staten Island, Sharpton knew about that one. And he went to the family, and the family didn't want to roll with him. So since they didn't want to roll with him, he never did anything for them. Didn't even acknowledge that their child was killed also. So if you don't do what he wants you to do, the way he wants you to do it, then he drops what he's going to do.
All bets are off. We're talking about the Black Misleadership class here. We've got another caller, 748 WBAI 99.5 FM on the dial. I'm Johanna Fernandez. Caller, what's your name and what's your question or comment?
Yes, good morning. Steve from the Bronx. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Oh, heavy topic. Listen, we all know that really understand research and people, places, and things. We know what Al Sharpton's position really is. We do understand him in his totality. The thing is, with Eric Garner, what struck me when it first happened, I'll be fast as I can, why did that dirty cop go to murder him? Why? We come to find that there had to have been a prior instance with the two of them to make that cop want to kill him in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a prior. Pantaleo is a dirty cop with a long rap sheet of prior cases on his back. He stripped a person down in the middle of the street.
That's right.
Garner knows him well. Mm-hmm. That was a straight murder. It wasn't just happenstance. That was a long, drawn-out occasion between the two of them. Garner said it himself. This ends here. Okay? Mm-hmm. So those are the keys that you heard on the tape that Brother Orta just was a bystander, and well, maybe he was a cohort of Eric Garner. Maybe. I'm not saying he was, but he was there. So the police said, okay, you're in this crap too. But Garner and Pantaleo know each other from a prior. Okay? Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Does anyone want to respond to this before we go to our caller? Yes.
I just want to add briefly to that comment that the majority of police officers who use deadly force have a history of either using deadly force prior or physically abusing people.
So Garner was a target of the police, and there had been numerous attempts at harassment. Do you want to add something, Sister Shirley?
Yes.
Short.
He most definitely was targeted that day. That day, there was a person who drove a cab, and they told him to move his cab so they could have a clear view of him down the street. They walked directly up to him. He had no loosies on him at all. He was targeted that day.
So we want to introduce the term political prisoner. We have another caller which we're going to take, but we want to introduce the term political prisoner. A political prisoner is someone who's targeted by the state, by the police, for the position they take, for speaking truth to power, for protest, and challenging the apparatus and exposing the structural features of oppression in a society. In this case, when you videotape a situation like the one that we saw with Eric Garner, that is blatantly, openly, crisply, essentially exposing the state and its character and the character of the police in particular. We're going to go to the next caller. Caller, what's your name and where you're calling from? Caller, can you speak louder?
Hello?
Yes, louder.
Hi, my name is Sakina. I'm calling from Westchester County. And thank you for your show. I just want to say this, Johanna, please remember that not everybody drinks coffee. Many of us drink tea. So remember that when you're telling us to get our coffee.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, tea and chai, too. Absolutely.
Please. Okay. Now, what I want to know is why... What were the charges for his mother that he stepped up and he was willing to basically take this fall for his mother? I would like, that's my first question. What were those charges? And second, if Al Sharpton dropped this case, what justification did he give? Did he give an explanation or did he just go away?
He just went away. I mean,
as far as I know.
Can we take the first question, please? What is his mother charged with? How did they entrap, target his mother?
Petty drug charge of sorts.
So drugs, petty drug charge. It's 7:53. This is WBAI. We've got another caller on the line. Caller, what's your name and what's your question? Caller, what's your name and what's your question?
Hello?
Yes. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Yes, this is Ralph Tulloch from Staten Island, New York, and I was just calling.
Staten Island in the house. We just got to say that Staten Island is in the house. Go ahead.
Yes, and I'm proud of my sister Shirley. That is a woman that's been in my life for a very long time, and I just wanted to wish everybody, you know, Beth for talking about the, you know, the Eric Gardner case, and I want to thank everybody because we need more of that in out here in Staten Island. And that's about it, you know.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. We are coming to the end of the show. We want to ask you to support WBAI if you think that this story is important and the rest of the other stories are important that we've been bringing to you. If you think that it's an outrage that other stations and the mainstream press has not taken a stand and reported on this important New York story, and we have, then please consider becoming a buddy. Consider supporting the show. Call us at 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or go to give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org. We've also heard here that Ramsey Orton needs support. He needs an attorney. He needs a team of folks. We here at WBAI and at It's a Good Day work with the National Lawyers Guild, and we know quite a number of attorneys who've successfully represented political prisoners. If you have advice, if you know of an attorney who might be able to support this case, please email me at johanna@wbai.org, johanna@wbai.org. We need to support the people who have been targeted by the state. In many ways, we're supporting ourselves and our movements today and in the future. We have a recording from Orta. We've got a short recording from Orta that we're going to listen to right now.
You know, I've dealt with NYPD since I was a kid, so. I was just tired of not having my side being believed. So I started filming to show that, you know, they are who they are and they do what they do. I figured maybe recording them would help me in some of my cases and help others. So now it's like the proof is in the pudding, and the cop will say one thing, but this video says otherwise. But I mean, we both know that's even something that doesn't work at times. Like, so it's like, now what's next? Just want to thank all my supporters and everybody that's been here, as they said they would. And I also want to thank the people that are just getting to hear my story and still able to reach out to me and help me in ways that, you know, that I appreciate a lot. And, you know, sometimes I get into my little mood and my mindset be towards one thing, and then it's like supporters just end up taking me right out of there and keeping me on the right track. So, you know, I want to thank you guys a lot for, like, keeping my head level and, you know, sometimes giving me ideas and options to think another way rather than falling into the trap of situations that happen here. So I just appreciate that, you know, people are still here and doing this day with me.
We'd like to acknowledge before we leave that that was the voice of Ramsey Orta. We also want to acknowledge Erica Garner and Jewel Miller. This is Johanna Fernandez of It's a Good Day. This show is produced by Autumn Harris, Hannah Simpson, Jürgen Ostensen, and Ajamu Sankofa. Jürgen Ostensen was key to the production of the show. Our board operator is
Catherine Davis.
And once again, I'm your host, Johanna Fernandez. It's a good day. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow.
M1 in the building. Freedom ain't free. Pay the cost. Look, look, look. You gotta be like him, or be like her. The revolution gonna reoccur. We say cool, be Jaleel. Who really wanna get free for real? Be your soldier, be your rebel. Who wanna take it to another level? Be a G, be a LA. If you want some liberation, better start today. Don't be like Mike, we gotta be like Fred Hampton. That's right, that's what I said. You gotta be the Honda, be your Sata. Baby and the right with black power, mama. Don't be no snitch, and don't be no pig.